everybody thinks of heifers as like, you know, sitting in a basement somewhere with a hood on, like these scary people.
Yeah.
But hackers are really just people getting, you know, username and password, and they're walking right in the front door.
They say it's lonely at the top, but it doesn't have to be. I've spent the last 8 years embedded in our local business landscape, and I've learned one thing. Facts only tell half the story. I'm Ann Donnelly. Join me for an intimate look at the minds of the innovators and leaders shaping our region. From the North Country Media Network, upstate New York's voices of authority, this is Building Success Stories. I'm here today at Layer 8, an IT company that is based in Plattsburgh, but they've opened an office in Glens Falls, so we wanted to find out a little bit more about them. So I have with me Vicky Marking, Director of Sales and Marketing, and Brian Carr, Account Executive. So thank you for having me here in your offices in Glens Falls.
Thanks.
It's great to be here. So Vicky, tell me a little bit about Layer 8, how it got started. And
so Layer 8, in its form now as Layer 8, was launched in January of 2021. But before that, we were actually a group of us that work for the company were part of a company called PrimeLink that actually did fiber optic internet and voice services. Mm-hmm. And we were also had a presence in Glens Falls back then. And if anybody remembers the PrimeLink name, we had an office in Glens Falls at that point. Our owner actually sold PrimeLink to a bigger company. The landscape for doing internet services was becoming really
tough. I can imagine, yeah.
And a lot of competition. But before that sale happened, we had actually already started an IT services division. So we had brought in former director of IT for the city of Plattsburgh to run our IT services division. And it had started out small and we were working, you know, to grow that. And then when PrimeLink sold, we wanted to continue to build the IT services part of the business. There was a whole core group of us that stayed behind after the sale. And at that point, we had to rebrand because the PrimeLink name went with the sale. Mm-hmm. And I got the fun part of completely branding the company, which was a first for me.
Because that was going to be a question of what is Layer 8, the name? What's it mean?
Yeah. So people in IT recognize it right away. We knew that people outside of the IT world would not necessarily know what it was. And we felt like that was a good thing because I look at it from a marketing perspective is that makes people ask about the company, say, okay, like I see your cars, I see the, you know, I see your business card, but I don't know what that means. So in the IT world, there's a 7-layer stack model that it's called the OSI model. And basically, IT people use that to describe where there's a problem going on in a network.
Okay.
There's a physical layer. There's a software layer. And those are commonly used. But the 8th layer is really not part of the model. It's kind of known as it's the human layer.
Okay.
It's the user.
That makes perfect sense.
And at the end of the day, it's that user that's using the 7-layer stack to make what they want work. And they're the ones that are really important because I say, you know, technology is great, but if it's not doing what the user needs it to do, then none of the rest of it really matters.
So that could mean either the user, the 8th layer, or you guys, the people coming in and enabling it all. Yeah.
When you walk into, we're eventually going to have, we're working on signage and everything here in our Glens Falls office. But when you walk into our office in Plattsburgh, we have the Layer 8 logo and it just says Layer 8, the human layer.
Okay.
It's about the people, both our employees and the relationships that we build with our clients.
Okay. So then you brought Brian in a couple of months ago to be your man in Glens Falls. But I see you've got a couple other people here too.
So we've had a full-time technician based in Glens Falls for some time now, couple of years, because we do have, I'll say, greater than a handful of clients in the Glens Falls area. But we really, this year, 2026, we wanted to be really serious about making a commitment to the greater Glens Falls area, including Saratoga. Brian's actually lives in Saratoga. And part of that was opening this office and having an actual presence here and then bringing Brian on board as our guy, basically, you know, to really like push who we are and what we do and help, you know, educate people and let them know that they have choices in the IT realm.
Yeah, it's great. So how are you finding it, Brian?
So far, it's so good. I love what I do here. Being able to go out and to different ribbon cuttings, seeing these new businesses, mm-hmm. you know, introducing them to the Lariat brand and mm-hmm. telling them what we do is something that I've done a little bit before, but never on this scale. I've had a lot of fun doing it. I expect to keep on doing mm-hmm. it in both the Saratoga County and up here in this region.
Mm-hmm. Were you in IT before?
No. So I was prior service. So I was in the mm-hmm. Navy for 9 years. In my last 2.5 years in the Navy, I was a Navy recruiter.
So good with people, right? So, selling the Navy.
Yes. Trying to sell the Navy in Colony Center is where I started and then moved to Clifton Park mm-hmm. and then ended in Saratoga. I had a lot of fun doing that. It mm-hmm. was very different than what I do now, but it, you know, having that experience really helped me become who I am today. Mm-hmm.
That's great. So how many people do you have up in Plattsburgh? How big is the organization overall? In the Plattsburgh office, there are 9 of us that work out of the Plattsburgh office, but we also have a parent company, which I hadn't mentioned yet, which mm-hmm. is Champlain Technology Group,
oh, yeah.
which traditionally is a company that's been around since like 123 years, I think we are old now. Mm-hmm. And it was a, what they call an independent local exchange carrier. It was a telephone.
Like a phone. I was going to say, what technology was there long ago? But yeah, telephones.
It was a traditional.
Exactly.
It was a traditional telephone company. And then as the internet came into being, you know, they offered the dial-up internet mm-hmm. and then now are building fiber mm-hmm. networks. Mm-hmm. So including our parent company actually still operates in the northern tier up on the border mm-hmm. with 5 townships, and they still do internet service and telephone service. And so we share, that's our parent company. So like our accounting functions, our customer mm-hmm. service functions, billing comes out of our Champlain office and mm-hmm. our parent company, which is nice. So all mm-hmm. told, with all parts of the business, we're about 40 employees.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Together. All right. So what services do you provide?
So basically, what Lariat wants to be is a completely outsourced IT department. Mm-hmm. So if you think of anything that if you had an IT director on staff, right. regardless of size.
So like a fractional CTO, that kind of thing. Yeah.
We'll do anything that a paid IT director would mm-hmm. do. That includes, you know, taking care of daily troubles with your employees. It means the cybersecurity functions of keeping
your
business.
Which is the big thing everyone's talking about now. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It means consulting when a business is trying to make decisions on mm-hmm. choosing software or finding more efficient ways to do things. We basically will do all of that. The services we offer are very custom to the client. So I always, you know, bringing Brian on fairly new, I always say, you know, IT services are not something that people buy. You're not going to make a phone call and sell IT services to something. Yeah, I feel and you know, we don't piecemeal things. What we're really looking for is partnerships.
Yes.
We really want mm-hmm. to get to know the business, get to know what their needs are, where their, you know, sticking points are, so to speak, pain points, and help them to try to get where they want to get. Mm-hmm. So throughout when we get somebody that's interested, we do what we call a discovery. Mm-hmm. Which basically means going on site and taking a look at everything they have, taking a look at every computer, endpoint, tablet, whatever that might be. And then we do a very comprehensive presentation for them mm-hmm. saying, hey, here's what we found. Here's what we see. Here's what you told me your problems mm-hmm. are. And if you were to go with us, here's what we would, here's our recommendations.
Yeah.
Here's what mm-hmm. the plan would be going forward.
And you're working with them on an ongoing basis because you're helping them set that up, put that stuff in place. But then all this stuff needs monitoring,
absolutely,
updates and tweaks and really? Different issues come up along the way, especially when you're networking.
Absolutely. So we don't want to be like that one-time fix. We don't do that kind mm-hmm. of service, like where somebody calls mm-hmm. in and you're in a crisis. And we have had people become clients
because a lot of people don't realize they have that need until they have a crisis.
Right. Until
And then you're like, oh dear, I was meaning to do that. I was meaning to call those people.
Exactly. Exactly. But really where we want to get people is where they don't need to really think about it. They can, we'll mm-hmm. take care of the IT stuff. We'll keep mm-hmm. up on that on a regular basis. And then they can concentrate on whatever they should be doing in their business, mm-hmm. right? Not trying to be an IT person on the side.
Brian, what do you find the biggest challenges that businesses have?
Biggest challenge that businesses have right now, kind of what I'm seeing is how they have Because I've been on a few discoveries, and the most recent one that we went on was, a lot of people think that, or even business owners, that Wi-Fi setup, the internet setup that you have at home is enough security for your business. And seeing that firsthand was a little shocking, but that's probably the biggest one that I have seen so far, that and people trying to get phones. Phones have been something that, you know, it's not what we live in 2026 now. Everyone has a cell phone. So people started to kind of get away from having that desk phone and getting rid of those lines. So some of these businesses that we talk to, they need desk phones. So that's a big need going forward.
Are most people doing like VoIP lines now?
Yes.
So things have changed a lot.
Very true.
20 years.
It used to be that when people bought a phone system for their office, it was a huge capital expense. Yeah. Like you were, you might.
And you got to get the phone company
$10,000 or $20,000 on a phone system. Now it's not that way anymore. In fact, there's almost no capital investment up front. It's just a monthly operational cost. Mm-hmm. And we have seen businesses, I mean, Brian's right. You see businesses that they start out small, but as they grow, they're trying to, everybody thought, oh, I'm no good with my cell phones, like that kind of thing. But as they grow, it becomes a problem because they don't have the same type of functionality.
Put people on hold and also keeping your personal versus your business stuff separate.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Being able to, like, you know, shut it off, so to speak, and you don't have that ability when. Your number that people are calling. So we have a lot of really good solutions that, again, you know, not a big upfront cost, but it's just kind of part of the operational cost of doing business. And it's scalable too. Like our phone systems are scalable. It can be 2 people. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, 200 people.
Yeah.
And we can still provide the same type of functionality for people.
That was going to be one of my questions too. Sizes of business that you work with. Like, do you work with solopreneurs as well as bigger businesses, or is it a bit of overkill for a solopreneur?
So most of the time, at least five, we usually say at least 5 endpoints, endpoints being, you know, tablet, laptop, desktop, it's kind of where we start. Do we make exceptions to that? Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody really needs help and is willing to, you know, is worried about the cybersecurity aspect and really understands it and wants us to come in and set that up. We will, a lot of times, for like the 1 or 2 person show, it's just a little bit more expensive than what they can, than what they can do right away. So we'll like make some recommendations and then say, you know, if you're growing and as you get there, you know, keep us in mind.
Yeah. Because it might be too early.
Might be a little too early, but
keep us in mind.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I am a fractional COO operations person as well as this. And so I have helped some people do like a mini security audit. And with the remote workers. So there's one of my clients has fully remote workers. Do you work with many people that are fully remote like that?
Yes.
Because there's only so much control you have.
We see more like hybrid situations where there's some people in the office and some people working from home. That's actually very common.
Yeah, I would imagine most businesses have that now.
And there are ways to do that very safely.
Yeah.
It all comes down to, again, the setup that you have in the background. Like, what do you have for a firewall and perimeter security? Are people VPNing in a secure fashion? Do they have company information, company email on their own personal laptops, or are they company owned? And can you, do you have password control over that in case someone leaves? All of those kinds of things.
Right.
Those are kind of, again, in that discovery phase we go through. Okay, like, how does this work? How are people operating? What kinds of information are you exchanging? How often are you out of, you know, the office? Because we've been
certain kinds of businesses, it's more critical than others.
Exactly.
If you're dealing with sensitive information, then you have to be a lot more conscious of all those things.
And I think a lot of people here in the United States, just as a general, is starting to kind of wake up to that fact that cybersecurity is a big area of concern in today's day and age. I know from my personal experience, you know, you see it every day. You get emails saying, hey, you got approved for a loan, or hey, click this link, or you're just getting random logins from Microsoft or Google getting codes. You know, it's becoming more and more frequent now.
Yeah.
And I think it's really starting to kind of shine light on an area that many, many people here in New York and overall in the United States have kind of looked over a little bit.
Yeah.
So we're kind of trying to, you know, fill that gap.
A couple of months ago, I spoke with Kevin O'Brien of Tech First Insurance, and he was talking about, you know, how so many people don't realize that even a solopreneur or small business, everyone's a target. Oh, they're absolutely. Just looking for an open port to come in and do their ugly deeds. So, you know.
Well, we used to, when we do our presentations for hopefully oncoming clients, we give them some statistics about small and medium businesses. And, you know, it used to be there was a time when small and medium businesses maybe weren't so much of a target. They were like after the big guys, but it's actually flip-flopped now because the people who are trying to get into systems know that small and medium businesses tend not to have as many
security. And they're more...
It's much easier. Exactly. They're definitely easier targets. And the other thing is, to Brian's point, like all of these types of things that are going on with phishing scams and calls and text messages that are not real, all those types of things, we provide training. That's one of the pieces that we do for our current clients is we will train all of their employees. Yeah. We'll do that on an annual basis.
How to identify those things.
How to, what to look for, what they should know, like just raising awareness so that it's not just the business owner, but everybody in the organization that kind of has a heightened awareness of what's going on.
Yeah. So, it's a concern for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So are there any other big issues that you see or common things that people need from a company like yours?
I think the things that I see, training is absolutely a big thing. Compliance is another. So you mentioned the cybersecurity insurance piece. People are having to fill out more information cybersecurity related than ever before. You know, they go to renew their insurance and now they've got this.
Yeah. The liability.
30 or 35 like questionnaire to fill out about their business. And they start going, wait a minute, I don't have this. I don't know if I have this. Do I do this? So a lot of times what people are coming to us for or what maybe sparks that is maybe they had to fill something out and they're thinking, oh, I don't do any of this kind of stuff. And that's the impetus that makes them call us and say, hey. So there's all different, depending on what type of business you are, all different types of compliance frameworks. And those are just getting more and more stringent.
Some clients might have compliance issues, like say if you're working for the government or things like that, I assume that there might be, you know, we need to know that our data is being protected.
Absolutely. Well, New York State has what's called the New York State Shield Act, and a lot of people don't know a lot about it necessarily. Mm-hmm. It came into effect in March of 2020. So if you know that date.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In March 2020.
March 2020.
COVID time.
Yeah. So that kind of took the attention away from that.
Absolutely did. So most people, there were many more important things on their mind during that time frame. But the New York State Shield Act basically is a cybersecurity law that was meant to protect client information, not necessarily like if you're a business, not necessarily your employees' information, but your clients' information. Yeah. And it was for all the businesses that weren't covered by some type of cybersecurity law already.
Okay.
So like if you were in the finance industry or the insurance industry, or obviously if you're in the medical field, there were already compliance frameworks in place. But everybody else, if you were just like the liquor store on the corner or, you know, gas station, there was nothing governing what you did with people's information, anything that you were collecting. So that was meant to basically cover everybody else. And that's one of the things we go over with any business that we're doing, you know, going through their discovery process. We'll just say, you know, here's what the New York State Shield Law says. Let's use this as a guide. Mm-hmm. Here's where you are now. And how do we make you compliant to get there?
If you have a mailing list database, would that be under that law?
Yes. Okay. Like how you protect that now. Anything that's considered personal identifiable information falls.
Like a name and an email, even just.
Yeah, especially even addresses. Even phone numbers, for that matter.
Would imagine. Yeah. That's how you get on all those spam lists.
Spam lists.
Like, I can't believe how many phone calls I get. And I don't bother answering my phone anymore. I just let it go to voicemail.
So fun. Because that's what I do, too. Right. And then if it's real.
Yeah.
Oh, like, oops.
Yeah, I was waiting. Yeah, I was waiting for a call earlier. But I didn't know they were going to call. I actually put my preference was email. But then my phone rang and I'm like, it's a, you know, some odd area code. Right. And I know a lot of them use our area code, but this was an odd area code. So I'm like, no. And then it was like, oh, I was waiting for a proof of delivery from the post office. And it was the post office. So I was like, oh, well, they left a good voicemail, luckily, because I was like, no, I've been waiting for that, you know. But that's why the security is so important, so that you can feel okay using email or using your own phone. Right. Be able to answer. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to answer any call? If all those calls were potential clients, it would be amazing.
It would be fantastic.
Right? My phone's ringing off the hook.
Absolutely.
So any other kinds of issues?
From a security aspect.
Not necessarily that. It could be something else.
One thing that I have noticed, people tend to get in the habit of using one single password.
Yeah. Guilty. I shouldn't admit that publicly, should I? I don't, because you have to change them at certain times. So,
yes. So, and that's something that I've you know, noticed just talking to people. And it's actually one of the major points of concern that I learned in some of my college classes was, you know, don't use the same password for everything.
Yeah.
Because you're making yourself a way easier target.
Once they get into one thing.
And a lot of people think if, you know, my password's very complex and has a bunch of characters in it, it's fine to use the same one over and over again. But it just takes one password to unlock everything if you use the same.
Yeah.
Absolutely want to use different passwords on each and everything.
Yeah.
And most people are guilty of, I have this password for my personal stuff, or they have one of three or something like that.
Yeah.
But again, what we tell people in training is that these days, you know, everybody thinks of hackers as like, you know, sitting in a basement somewhere with a hood on, like these scary people.
Yeah.
But hackers are really just people getting your username and information, your username and password, and they're walking right in the front door.
Yeah.
It's really, they're not breaking in anymore. Yeah. They're walking in because people
making it easy.
Exactly. Or they click on something and
that
was them.
It's very clever. And I think AI is making, they're using AI. Like I laugh about AI, like when people first started talking about AI, I'm like, well, we've been using that stuff all along, but now it's just more user friendly. But the more advanced these things get, then it's just easier to get scammed. Things looking more professional. Like I get eBay ones all the time and I'm like, I forward them. So it's like phishing at ebay.com and I just forward them on. I'm like, hopefully they'll get caught somehow. You're like, you have money waiting. Click this button. And but there was one thing and they just catch you just right, because there was one that almost got me because I was waiting for something. It wasn't eBay. It was something else, though. Similar, PayPal or, you know, it's the two of them are very often like people are pretending to be those. And it was something I was waiting for. And then I was like, no, I better go on the website and log in that way just to make sure.
Absolutely.
You know, that's always the better way to do that rather than clicking a link in an email, even if it looks legit.
And another big company that's kind of having that same issue as eBay and PayPal is Amazon.
Yes.
Amazon's been having a really big issue with that as of recently, to where they're getting, you may have something that looks very official from Amazon.
Yeah.
And then you sign in your Amazon and you're like, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
So just really being aware of what you're clicking on and, and making sure that it's coming from the people that it's coming from.
And state agency, social security, because they're always kind of warning, we will not email you, or, you know, it's like always double check.
So, and there's a easy way on like your email, you can click the name, and if it doesn't have an official Amazon.
If you hover over it and look like down in the bottom.
Pretty good indication.
Yeah.
It's not a legitimate email.
So you guys can make sure people have good spam filters, that they're...
What we tell people is we put all of the technical things in place that you possibly can, right?
Like
The filters and stuff, but you'll never catch every single thing from a technical aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You also, like, again, goes back to the human layer. We all have to take some responsibility. And that's why we are big on providing training and bringing awareness. And to go back to what you said before, we tell people, just don't click anything. Like, if it's a link and you're not expecting it, go to the website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really are expecting a delivery, check the FedEx website. Don't click the link in the email. Call and confirm. It's just, it's kind of sad that we have to be that way, but you really do have to verify a lot of these things.
It's just sort of the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a little uncomfortable. It'd take a little bit more time, but you got to do it. Yeah. It's the way it is. But you'll put all this stuff into place and help training and put policies in place so that people are aware.
We will help people you know, provide them.
It's a shame, but it's just where we are.
And we don't want people to be afraid to ask questions on certain things.
Yeah.
So if there's something that comes through that you're not sure of, well, you can always just ask. There's never a bad time to ask that question.
And one of my clients, we did training, mini training, but we did it. Mm-hmm. And it was, and if you have clicked on something, please just own up to it and come forward and let us know as soon as possible. Because I think people might do it and then be like, oh, no, I don't want to be the one. And then it could make everyone more vulnerable, whereas you kind of have to fess up and say.
Absolutely. Because we always say, if you do or you think you might.
It happens.
Just
it happens.
Tell our clients, just call them right away. Let us check your computer. Mm-hmm. Like we would much rather have you call in for a false alarm and say, nope, everything's good, than have you not report it. And then again, put more people at risk, put the organization more at risk.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to have a professional IT company working for you. So one of the things I was going to ask, because I think a lot of people are like, that's going to be so expensive. You know, it's another expense and like, oh, we could do this ourselves. But really, it's worth the investment to get it right, right?
So here's what I say to people. It isn't always what people consider, quote unquote, cheap. It is an investment for sure. However, all it takes is one time. Right. Mm-hmm. Where you know, whether it's clicking on something that you shouldn't have or, you know, losing someone's personal information, having their identity stolen because you let their personal information be leaked in some way. Mm-hmm. Again, depending on what field of work you're in.
Yeah.
I mean, it can mean a license, you know.
Yeah.
Your reputation, a license if you have a New York State license. There's all these things that go into it. So all it takes is that one time that can hurt your business to a point where you may not be able to recover from it.
Yeah.
And don't wait until it happens. Let's get you in a place where, you know, you're not at risk anymore. That's the way I look at it.
But apart from the security aspect of it, I'm sure that like with the advice that you give, as far as just the IT people are using software, hardware, all of that, the advice you give is overall going to be more cost effective.
Well,
because if people are just buying this, buying that, they probably have things they don't need or they're not using it properly. They're not using it fully. Yeah. I mean, I know myself, right? I try all these different things and I've been the IT person for businesses I've worked for before. And when it comes to networking, I draw the line when it came to anything with the network, because that's just too hard for me to deal with. But yeah, I know that like these days things were just so dependent on IT for everything now. Turning on the lights, right? The
way we work things is a little bit different and it goes into what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So when we do this, you know, discovery and presentation in the beginning for new clients, we at the end of all of this, we offer them a flat rate fee per month for our support.
Yeah.
And it's 100% all inclusive. So we go through everything and we say, here's all the things that you need. Here's all the services you should have in place. The training that I talked about, filling out any compliance forms you have, helping you build, like all of it is included and you have this flat rate price. And so people can budget for it.
Yeah.
It's not based on an hourly rate.
Yeah.
And they don't want to call you because.
Exactly.
You know,
right. Especially IT stuff, because that could take for hours and hours. Like I know myself, like I lose a whole day because I do some websites too. And it's like, oh, this little thing just won't work right, you know? And then all of a sudden my internet, this happened to me yesterday, I had to reset my Wi-Fi router. And it was like, of course, today of all days when I'm in a hurry.
What I say is because of the way we do things, it encourages people to call in, right?
Yeah.
Because if they're paying you a flat rate, then encourage all of your employees to call in when they have a problem. Don't have them suffer through
the frustration, the time wasted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you fight through because, you know, your computer's slow all day and you have lost all this, you know, hours worth of productivity because of it, that's a cost to the business too.
Absolutely. People don't think about that part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That with you guys coming in and setting things up and setting it up right is going to save so much time, which time is money.
business.
Absolutely. And that's probably the biggest thing that I see is that when you get in and you talk to people and then, you know, you'll talk to the business owner, but then when you get into these situations where you get to talk to all of the employees or piecemeal, everybody's got these pain points that they're dealing with that they just have kind of like learned to live with.
Suffering in silence.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We tend to find things out from the other employees that the owners had.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a great part of that also. Because it is then knowing that you need to get the input of everyone that's going to be using this system.
Yeah, you'll hear from people like how much time that they waste or, you know, they have to restart something every morning, like because it locks up. It'll just be ridiculous things that if you look at that from a cost perspective, like how much time they spend on all these little things every day. Whereas once we're in place, they can just, you have a problem, you put a ticket in, we take care of it. Most things are taken care of like within a couple of hours.
Yeah,
we do things remotely if needed. We'll send boots on the ground, we'll person to your office if you need it. And it's all in that price. Again, to go back to, I feel like, you know, not to, my daughter's an attorney, so I can say this, but it's like working with an attorney, right? Like every time you call in, you get billed 15-minute increments. Mm-hmm. If you feel the same way about your IT provider, then you don't call.
Yeah.
Where if the way that we do things with that flat rate price, it actually encourages people to call in. And it encourages us to fix it quick and fix it right the first time so that we are.
And check in with them and make sure they're happy. Absolutely. Or do you advise people if you hear of new things that might be of use to them or new kinds of scams or something that might be relevant? Do you do that?
We absolutely do. We do. And like for current clients, we do a monthly newsletter and a lot of it is educational stuff.
That's
a lot
of it
is like scams that might be going around, things that they should think of, you know, policies they might want to put in place. We try to keep them up to date on this as well.
It's good to keep in touch.
And we encourage them, like, if you're struggling with some kind of a problem, you know, where you're like, this is just seems inefficient and there's got to be some kind of technology out there that can help me do this. We'll say, give us a call. We'll send somebody in to sit with you and talk through it. And we'll do the homework and figure out what might be a good solution for that particular business.
Yeah. Because some people feel too like, oh, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to say. But if they've got a question, chances are other people have that also.
I think that one of the best things I was told by a mentor was there's no such thing as a stupid question.
No.
And that really kind of comes into this IT because everyone is going to have questions at some point. Even, you know, my brothers are younger than me. They call me for IT questions. They ask me like, hey, how do I do this and this? And sometimes it's very easy, but it's really sticking to that. You know, there's no stupid question because everyone might not know what's going on or is kept up in technology because technology's an ever-growing thing that
absolutely
every single day.
Yeah.
So my thing would be just there are no stupid questions. If you have a question, I want you to reach out to us and let us know.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Now, so we talked about the sizes of businesses. So the area, the regions. So you're up north, so you're covering all those counties up there.
Yep. So I basically,
which is wide ranging people that probably really need help because they're not getting connected. Activity and all service and all that stuff down to here.
Yep. We basically say from the Canadian border to basically the Capital District.
To the Capital District.
Not into Albany.
So Clifton Park, Latham, maybe.
That's, we will.
Yeah.
And we have even, we don't necessarily market our services on the Vermont side of the lake, but we have naturally taken on some clients there because of the synergy between Plattsburgh and Burlington.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of Plattsburgh businesses that also have a Vermont presence.
Imagine,
and help them in both locations.
That's good. Far range. So if somebody's interested in working with you, what's the first step?
If they are in the greater Glens Falls, Saratoga area, they can call Brian.
Call Brian. All right.
Call or email Brian.
Conversation and kind of go from there. Because everyone's going to be different. You know, this isn't a kind of like a cookie cutter sales pitch or anything like that. You know, we want to figure out what's the best way for really having that initial conversation with them kind of sets the tone on what direction we're going to go.
And then how far up is Brian's jurisdiction? So, because we got people further north listening to this, hopefully.
Well,
North Country Media.
Basically,
Network.
We'll figure that part out.
So I'll have the contact information in the show notes for the podcast. Mm-hmm. All right.
IT and technology is just, like I said, that's consistently changing. So there are new things coming out every.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. And it's exciting. The AI space too.
Yeah.
And that has been for companies from a company perspective, it's having policies in place,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Like again, to protect yeah. people's information.
Cause yeah, there's the security aspect of that.
We had a client mm-hmm. who found out that some of her employees were putting personal information into ChatGPT mm-hmm. just because they wanted a spreadsheet built.
Yeah.
But had never thought about,
yeah,
what does that mean? What are you doing? What are you giving people access? Yeah.
It all gets stored somewhere.
Yeah. Out of your control. So
AI is a great tool. It's a great resource for you to use, but you know, you just kind of have to watch how you're using it.
Yeah.
Be conscious on what you're putting in there and not letting it do everything for you is one of the big things.
So more recently, we've been helping people come up with their AI policies or helping them build templates mm-hmm. and do training.
Yeah.
With their
staff. That's important. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. becoming even more mm-hmm. and more important every day.
Right. Yeah. And there's always something new coming up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the environment's changing constantly. Mm-hmm. So that's why you need a good advisor. All right. Well, thank you very much for having me here today.
Thanks for coming.
Great talking to you. These conversations often begin as feature articles for the Saratoga and Glens Falls Business Journals. We've partnered with them to turn those printed insights into broadcast quality authority assets, allowing you to hear the person behind the business in their own words. Thank you for listening to Building Success Stories, a production of the North Country Media Network. Our mission is to document the professional legacies and success stories that drive our region forward. To discover more shows in our network, or to learn how we can help you own the conversation in your industry, visit us online at northcountry.media. I'm Ann Donnelly, and until next time, keep building your success story.